Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Going Deep with Aaron Watson. Gotta issue a disclaimer before today's episode. My guest is a wilderness survival expert and a really impressive guy, and he is going to fire you up and make you want to go run outdoors and build some wilderness survival skills. Just gotta say that you should wait until the weekend or the evening. You shouldn't go sprinting out of your office or just turn your car around if you're waiting in rush hour traffic. You should hit the pause button, plan a time to go do it, absolutely, but don't go changing your whole day right off the bat. I'm just joshing around. Eric Kulik is a wilderness survival expert. He has a wilderness survival school. He teaches people the basic survival skills that you need to make it in an extreme situation. I found his talk to be very informative. Talk about all sorts of fundamentals, things to consider. And he also gives some advice for someone who is not particularly outdoor savvy and how to go about, kind of dipping your toe in the water, building those skills from a starting point. It can be very daunting when you hear even the phrase wilderness survival, but he really makes it accessible and has inspired me to build my skills as well. So without further ado, Eric Kulik. So much for coming on my podcast. I
Hey,
really appreciate it.
thank you very much for asking me to be here. I appreciate it.
So this is really cool. I met Eric through former guest of the sh on the show, Larry Gioia, along with a fellow member of my mastermind group, Adam Herodin. So really cool to see connections like that bear fruition. But what Eric does is he has his own wilderness survival school. To provide a little context, I was an Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts, so I have a little bit of experience outdoors. But when I was really thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about was how far away that experience was from a hardcore wilderness survival experience. And then also for someone who hears the term wilderness survival and maybe is having their first experience with it, that can be a pretty daunting term.
The term I think is a little bit more intimidating than it needs to be. I try to provide whether my courses or just even the term wilderness survival training. I want to make that open to people. So I'm getting the people who are taking my courses is everyday average people. You don't have to be a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger to take something like this. So I'd like to, whether it's now or even in my courses, to clarify a lot of misconceptions that people have.
Absolutely. So before we get into that, what's the name of your school? When did it get started? And kind of where did that idea come from?
I founded True North Wilderness Survival School 5 years ago. We're going on year six at this point. I'm based here in the city of Pittsburgh, and I run my courses in a variety of locations, depending on the course, primarily in southwestern PA. I hold my survival classes at various state parks via permit, and I'll hold some of my wilderness medicine courses in some other locations, and I'll travel out of state, depending on a client's needs as well.
And where did the idea come from to start a wilderness survival school? Where'd you start to pick up those skills? You don't just let somebody just jump
Well, I
into
think
it.
the question is probably two sets of questions, really. I guess maybe I'll start with how I got into it, really by accident. I probably have about 30 years outdoor teaching experience. I started out in college teaching paddling, canoeing, and kayaking, along with river tripping skills, where I would take people out on river trips. And really plan on getting into outdoor education. My parents wanted me to take a more traditional path, so I ended up going to law school and getting an MBA. And then really, at some point, decided I really wanted to get back to my roots and made a transition. I started the school 5 or 6 years ago, and that was somewhat of an accident. People would come to me requesting skills training because they were planning a trip out west, and they might need help with learning how to make a map, how to use a map and compass. Other people maybe wanted some skills about how to make a campfire. And with that, I thought there was really maybe a need in this area for genuine professional training beyond what is normally available in this region. So I formulated the school, and at this point, I am very active, not just through Southwestern Pennsylvania, but the state and a good hunk of the Northeast, and train not just individuals, but a lot of professional providers, military, and some law enforcement now. So it's a pretty wide gamut. Focus of the skills is on wilderness survival, but also wilderness medicine classes. I think that the two together really prepare people how to deal with an acute emergency in some remote or austere environment.
So over these 30 years of acquiring these different skills, how did you go about assessing your own skill set? You know, if you're starting in the canoe trips and the river trips and maybe recognizing areas of your own weakness, or do you still go about sharpening and refining your skills?
Yeah, so the answer is probably yes to all those basic questions. So my basic skill set originally was really centered on learning some skill. My idea about being competent in the outdoors was being a good paddling instructor or a good hiker, or maybe, you know, for other people, it's being a good climber, rock climber, knowing all those related skills, or hiking the Appalachian Trail or something along that line. There are a lot of people that are really competent in that, but I learned through experience that there's more skills that people typically should know beyond that specific skill set. What I mean by that is I had an experience almost 15 years ago where I got lost in the woods in the winter, and even though I was on a day hike, a pre-planned day hike, I was pretty convinced I was going to have to spend the night. And while I was able to get myself out of the situation, it really brought to the fore how much I didn't know. And there was a lot of the fundamentals. And so it was really my focus at that point to learn a lot of those fundamentals. Because, you know, my feeling is if you go into the woods, whether it's as a hiker or as a paddler or as a rock climber or fill in the blank, you should be prepared to take care of yourself if an emergency arises. People, I think, have lost touch with basic skills. We have an undue reliance on technology. We think we can drive somewhere, and if we have a problem or need help of some sort, we can pull out our cell phone. And the reality is that's not the case. And even if you can, it may be several hours before help can get to you. So you should be prepared to take care of yourself. And I wanted to really learn those skills. And I wasn't planning on starting a survival school. I was just learning for my own benefit. So that's really how I kind of got into the school.
Gotcha. I think that's one of the funny ways that manifests itself is when we're going to go run an errand or we're going to go to a restaurant or something like that, and we're getting in the car, and sometimes I'll say, let's just like leave our phones at home, or let's leave our phones somewhere. And people will go, well, what if something should happen? And it's almost the exact mirror opposite of acknowledging we don't have the skills should something happen, or we're completely reliant upon an outside entity, as opposed to feeling that self-reliance and self-comfort that if something goes down, I can handle myself.
Exactly. Look, I mean, I think it's not just the idea of just realizing that. I think it's also realizing this veil that exists between us and chaos, and realizing how thin it is. So, for example, right now you and I are sitting in a suburban area. Look, if we decide to leave our cell phones behind and we run into a problem, chances are we're going to, let's say, break down on a roadway with only 50 other vehicles passing us within the hour. We can get help. But you might not want to do that if you plan on driving to some rural part of the state where it might be weeks before someone drives by. So I'm all about taking risks and leaving things behind if necessary, which is part of taking risk. And look, out of taking risks, we maximize life. It's all, there's a nice correlation with it. But you want to give yourself the largest margin of error possible within reason should something happen, should something happen that you're not expecting. So I think that's really what it comes down to, is realizing that margin of error and how thin or wide it may be, and adjusting for it based on your skill set.
When you mentioned those fundamentals that you were focusing on acquiring, what are some of the fundamentals of Quota Survival?
Essence of what I teach is helping people stay 98.6. It's that simple. What do I mean by that? Look, unlike most other animals that are out in the woods, we are extremely fragile. We have no natural defenses. If you take our clothes off, we're extremely susceptible to the weather. We have an inability to function really quickly. So you need certain skills that will keep you 98.6, your average core body temperature. Any deviation from that and your chances of dying become pretty high. How do you do that? You should know how to make a shelter. You should know how to make a fire. You should know how to signal for help. You should know how to keep yourself calm. There's seven survival priorities that everyone should know, and I'm just hitting on a couple of them right now. And you should be able to address them such that you can take care of yourself for some period of time. I recommend people should be prepared to take care of themselves for at least 72 hours. What do I mean by that? If you were to go out in the woods and hike, and you were to get lost, and a search and rescue crew were come looking for you, 95% of search and rescues are concluded within a 72-hour window. Doesn't mean they always find you alive. They may find you dead. But 95% of the time, they're going to find you within that time frame. That means you need to be able to hold out for 72 hours. If you can do that, your chances of surviving are that much higher. If you can't do it, if you don't have those basic skills, just the handful that I've mentioned, your ability to survive drops. And that's really easy to do. And they're just, the news is filled with people who don't come back from a day hike. People aren't seeing it as much in the local news or seeing it in the national papers, but it's very common. So my feeling is you go out in the woods, your responsibility is taking care of yourself. And better yet, being able to take care of others who may be in your group, or maybe it's someone you find out in the trail. So that's my basic approach. That's also my philosophy as well.
So along with building a shelter, starting a fire, things like that, what are some of the, just really basic lessons that anyone who's out in the woods needs to be prepared to be knowledgeable of just to keep themselves closer at 98.6?
Here's how I recommend things. The model of survival I teach is what's called a modern approach. That differs a little bit from what most people see on television, which is what's called a primitive approach to survival. Meaning, in primitive survival schools, they're teaching you how to do everything from scratch. You may need to make a shelter, you put some sticks and some leaves together, and you build something with a roof on it. You want to make a fire, you scrounge up some wood and some string and a baseboard, you make a friction fire. Those are great skills to have, but those aren't skills you're going to have to rely on in an emergency and a pinch. In my modern form of survival, style of survival, I'm teaching a model very similar to what's taught in the U.S. military survival programs, and the essence of that is being prepared with certain skills, and being prepared with certain gear to hit seven survival priorities. And those seven survival priorities are knowing how to keep yourself calm and how to deal with stress. The second is keeping yourself physically safe, either keeping yourself safe if you haven't been injured or if you are injured or sick, being able to take care of yourself. So there's some first aid elements in that. The third survival priority is shelter, then fire, then signal, water, and food. Food's always last. Psychology and in your physical safety, scene safety is always one and two. Those other skills, shelter, fire, signal, and water, those you can bend a little bit based on your situation. So that being said, you go out on a day hike, you should carry just some basic items that will hit most of those survival priorities. So for example, you should be able to make a shelter. That's a key, one of the key skills you should be able to do. How can you do that? Just carrying a roll of plastic drop cloth in your kit, which you could probably buy at a local hardware store for $2.50, and some cord, ideally some 550 cord. You can get 50 feet for about $4.50. With those, you can make a shelter as quick as 30 seconds, or something that's pretty involved, maybe as long as 20, 25 minutes. Either way, you're making something that is windproof and waterproof, which is crucial in keeping your body 98.6, because people don't become hypothermic and die, not just in the winter, but in the summer as well. So you need to be able to make a shelter. You should be able to make a fire. One instructor from whom I learned, the way he put it, you should be prepared at all times to start a knee-high fire in 5 minutes in the pouring rain. And that sounds absurd, but you can do it. And but the key is preparation. You're not going to be able to do that making a friction fire. So those are the two skills right off the bat you should know.
I'm really interested to learn more about how you placed psychology and stress management at the top of those priorities, and if there's any sort of physical tools that you use, or is that more techniques of breathing, of mental models to help deal with a stressful situation where you might be hyperventilating or something like that?
It's somewhat of a, you're hitting on a couple of points. How it ends up at the top, it's because it doesn't matter how much gear you have in your pack or how much training you've had. You know, it's what's in your head and heart that matters most. If you could be the best trained individual with all this gear in your pack, but if you panic and you can't use it, it's useless. So psychology, being calm, recognizing stress and being able to manage stress is absolutely crucial, because with it, it helps you manage your remaining resources, key resources, which in particular is going to be time and energy and your various resources generally. If you can't manage any of that, all the other skills and things you may have are for naught. So you're trying to, in my course, it's not something you can actually necessarily teach. People have to pull that from themselves and figure it out for themselves, but I at least want to give them a method to understand it. And there are two ways. One is I can explain the basic physiology of stress and how your body's reacting so that when it happens to you, you can understand what you're doing. For a lot of people, they don't understand how their body's reacting, and that scares them, and that adds to that panic. And the other is explaining how people control panic. And for the most part, I give people a tool. And really what it comes down to, it's staying calm and collected, not just for yourself. You're thinking of other people. You're thinking about either in a good way or a bad way. It could be you want to get home to your wife or your kids because you don't want them to be fatherless. Could be you're in the military. You know, you're thinking of your buddies, not letting them down. Could be your religious faith. You're giving them a techniques and a basic understanding of what to expect. And then when it happens, you know, it's up to them to really pull it upon themselves. But I at least want to give them that foundation and a real starting point, so that they understand that, because it's crucial. I mean, to underscore, there are people that go out in the woods who were Army Rangers, who were not only had the skills, but the basic gear, and they died. And you take a similar situation with a 16-year-old girl who's barefoot, no gear, and no experience, and she survives. You know what's the difference? Just sometimes it's that psychology. That's why it's number one.
Absolutely. And I think that sports may be a slightly less, slightly lower stakes than a wilderness survival situation, but a common phrase is that preparation breeds the ability to stay calm in those big situations. Have you repped these scenarios? Have you thought about the different outcomes? Are you prepared from an equipment standpoint, and that being where you derive your confidence from?
You're hitting on a terrific point. Look, let me be clear about this. What I'm talking about, particularly when it comes to my survival course, really is not just about survival. It's about life. The things I'm teaching, some of them are skills-oriented for the woods, but particularly when it comes to the psychology aspect of it, managing stress, managing the situation, this applies to your time at work. It applies to the time, maybe your marriage is falling apart and your spouse has left you. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. These arouse the same fight or flight responses that you're going to experience being lost in the woods. So you're teaching, these same skills apply to life. So it's not just about being in the woods. You can apply these in so many ways beyond what we're doing out there. I mean, it's really about, I'm trying to give people a different way of viewing life and viewing things around them, specifically the woods. But again, you can apply it to all other aspects to what they're doing.
So what would you say to someone who, either from the term wilderness survival or the fact that they, their background, how they were raised, they didn't go camping, they didn't go rafting or canoeing or have those kind of fundamental outdoor activities, what would you say to someone who is having reservations about, you know, dipping their toe in the more outdoor naturalist type adventures?
I think, and that's a great question, because people can be really intimidated by wanting to do these things. Look, we're all intimidated by anything new. It's something that's natural. But I think particularly and sadly when it comes to the outdoors, because the outdoors should be that one thing that's just so egalitarian and so open, but yet, for lack of a better word, there can be somewhat of an elitist feeling out there. It comes, you know, the people that are highly skilled seem to want to show off and put down other people that don't have skills. People seem to think that because of what's being sold in the various big box outdoor stores, that they need to have the right clothing and the right backpacks, and all of which are extremely expensive. So they're just hesitant. And then when you throw into the fact that, geez, they don't know some specific skill, they don't do it. I like my courses, and I think one of the successes of my courses isn't with all the skilled people I work with, whether it's EMS professionals or law enforcement, some military folks. It's the people that come to me, a lot of times that have zero outdoor experience. They have never camped, but they want to go out into the woods and they want to do more of this. And they're using my course as a stepping stone. And I want to make that open and as non-intimidating as possible. Because really, in the end, I'm not selling them skills development. I'm selling them some basic confidence. Meaning, with some skills and some basic introduction, they have the basis to really go out on their own, to explore the world, help others, be better leaders, not just in the outdoors, but in life in general. And that's really my focus, is providing that confidence to explore, help, and lead. And taking a course like this can be really that first opening, because what I say to a lot of my students, and it may sound like hyperbole, but they might have not any experience hiking or kayaking or rock climbing, or may not do it as well as some other people. They probably have more skills than those highly skilled people who have been doing these things for 20 years. Because most people that become skilled become so narrow in something. And sadly, cocky, unduly cocky, that they just think they know it all. And they don't realize how much they don't know. So, an example, I can't tell how many people I've talked to that have hiked the Appalachian Trail, either in its entirety or large portions of it, who can't read a map and use a compass. I think that is the most basic skill that anyone should have. It's one of the three core skills people should have. So how do you call for help or tell people where you are on the trail? Because that emergency dispatcher is not going to know where you are on that trail. And well, if you don't have a map, you can use your cell phone. Well, what if your cell phone's dead?
Or doesn't have service.
Or doesn't have service. Exactly. So I just the people leaving my school are learning some basic skills, and they're not going to do it perfectly, but it's a terrific starting point for the future. And again, they're going to be better off than most people out there. So that's how I view things, and that's part of my passion in what I do.
Absolutely. You mentioned the three core skills, one of them being your ability to read and orient a map. So another thing, some people can look at a map and say, oh, there's the trail, there's a major landmark, but orientation, being able to figure out which way is north and align your map accordingly, goes hand in hand with that.
Well, more than that, I mean, you should be able to use your map to identify where you are and where you want to go and what the best route possible between the two. But at a minimum, being able to determine where you are on the map. And as simple as that may sound, people cannot many times find themselves on a map. And the point, or worse, there will people that will be pointing on a map. When I ask them where we are on the map, they will be pointing at a spot, telling me that's where we are. They are convinced that's where we are. They'll be explaining that's where we are, and we're literally on the other side of the map. in reality. So it's a very basic skill a lot of people don't have. So what are the other ones? The skills you should have. I think there should be a triad of skills that you should have that supplement your other outdoor activities or other interests. So whether you're a rock climber, a backpacker, or a kayaker, you should have basic land navigation skills. That is, you should be able to read a map and compass. That's one. The second thing is you should be really comfortable with first aid training. At a minimum, CPR and some basic first aid. Ideally, you should have a wilderness first aid certification under your belt. And lastly, some kind of wilderness first aid training. And that is, again, the skills such that you can keep yourself 98.6. And so those three going together, I think, form that triad of survival. And those are basic skills that were passed down from father to daughter, or father to son and mother to daughter for millennia. And we've kind of lost that over the last 75 to 100 years. So we've become much more insulated. So I think it's important to learn those skills to kind of be a little bit more in touch.
In terms of, you mentioned that you had a long history of wilderness activity, interest in being outdoors, but you did go to school, get your MBA, get a law degree. How have you found that has helped you at all in starting your school? Or what advice would you give to someone who maybe has interest in maybe a naturalist business or something in that realm? Is there value in this?
There definitely is. And trust me, I've given this a lot of thought. And I've responded to this quite a bit when people look at me and looking at what I'm doing, which is, you know, the crux of what I'm doing through True North is providing wilderness survival training, wilderness medicine training. I work in the emergency medical services. And I work with a lot of emergency providers. And when I mention that I've got an MBA and a law degree, people think that's completely unrelated, particularly with what I'm doing with the school. And I would tell you, I probably can't imagine any better training than what I've done. So how did it help? It really does two things. First, from purely an administrative business standpoint, I have the basic skills to help start my business and keep it running and do so in as efficiently as possible. And I underscore as possible, because when you're running a small business, it's not always easy to do it as efficiently as you can. But I have the basics and a good understanding of what I should be doing. So I think I'm further ahead than if I hadn't any of that training. The second part of it is really the thrust of your training when you're working for your MBA, you're working for your law degree. The thrust of really what you're doing isn't, yes, it's law, yes, it's business, and more specifically working on a particular case or working in finance or marketing, but the essence of everything you're doing is risk assessment. You're constantly looking at your situation, looking at your strengths, looking for your weaknesses, looking what's going on in the local environment, so you can assess where you're going and what to expect. And that's really what I'm doing with my survival school. It's risk assessment. Understanding your skills, understanding your resources, what your objectives are, and making the best decision possible that will allow you to not just have fun, you know, taking risk in an appropriate way, but getting home alive, and particularly getting home alive, not just for your sake, but you have a responsibility to your loved ones. So all that is interrelated, much more closely than people think.
Gotcha. I want to be respectful of your time here. I know that we're approaching the time you have to leave. I want to thank you so much for coming on my show and sharing your time with me. If people want to connect with you, if they want to check out the True North School, what's the best way to go about doing
that? They can visit my website at www.exploretruenorth.com. From there, they can look at the website. They can get a link to my Facebook page as well as my LinkedIn page and learn a little bit about my school and me and the other people that are doing some teaching for me.
Great. That will all be linked to in the show notes for this episode. Before we let Eric go, we're going to give him like one last time to issue a personal challenge to the audience.
What I would offer your audience in terms of a challenge is to expand their boundaries beyond what they think their comfort level is in skills. So no matter how skilled they think they are in some area, to learn something new. So, for example, if you're in the outdoors, You may be highly skilled at what you do, but learn something new, like learning how to use a map and compass. Take a first aid course. Take a survival course. And it doesn't have to be with me. There are lots of programs about around here. But you should be constantly looking to expand yourself and realize at the heart of this that no matter how much you do know, there's so much more you don't. And you should be striving that as continually as you can. And that'll improve you, I think, not just in the outdoors, but just in life in general.
Thank you so much for that, Eric. We just went deep with Eric Kulik of True North Wilderness Survival School. Hope everyone out there has a great day. Hey everybody, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you found it valuable, if you found it interesting, please take the time to head over to the iTunes or Stitcher page or wherever you're playing this on and leave a rating and review for the show. That's hugely, hugely, hugely helpful for me. Allows me to climb the rankings, show up better in search results, and just share the show with more people. We've got great information. We've got great guests. I want to share their story with as many people as possible. So please, please, please take the time to do that. If you've already done that or just isn't your cup of tea to leave a rating or review, another way you can help the show